Every January, people make New Year's resolutions, and we embark on self-improvement programs, we set goals, we implement new habits and dream big. You've probably heard the slogan, New Year, New You. We make these resolutions to improve ourselves, and we usually start out strong. But often these new action plans don't turn into lifelong habits. They end up falling by the wayside. And sometimes when Ash Wednesday comes along, we have a tendency to take this same approach. We set goals for Lent. We sense that we need some sort of recalibration in our spiritual lives. And Lent does call us to do that. We may decide to give up something like chocolate or coffee or alcohol or social media. Often we choose something that may be good for us. We figure maybe we can get a sort of 2-for-1 deal. We can be healthier, both physically or emotionally, but also spiritually. But sometimes we get so caught up in the process of fasting for Lent that we forget about the reason of fasting for Lent. And the fast becomes the end in and of itself. It's easy to focus on the outward part of Lent. And we hear a reading like the one from Joel this evening, and it sounds like the focus is on the outward, on the behavior. I mean, Joel is calling for a fast, after all. Sound the alarm. It's an emergency. Times are dire. It's time to make a change, so come and fast. I mean, everyone, literally all generations from birth on up, even the newlyweds on their honeymoon, are called to come and fast. Come and weep before the Lord. Everyone in the entire community is called to action. They're called to change their behavior in the hopes that God will have mercy. In the hopes that the darkness that is threatening to overtake them will be averted. And we often do the same thing. When life stops making sense, when darkness threatens to overtake us, we try to do something. And this call for a fast seems appropriate in our times. You could say that circumstances are pretty dark in our world today. There have been natural disasters in the U.S. and in the world, people displaced by war, and we've witnessed brutality and inhumanity again even today. And for many, that darkness has struck close to home, and it's taken up residence with us. There may be illness, physical, emotional, or mental. And for many, there has been loss. This darkness at times threatens to overwhelm us. And Lent is about acknowledging these things. It's about recognizing our fallenness and our mortality. But sometimes when we hear this call to fast, sometimes we want to keep it at arm's length. We want to focus on the outward behavior. We think of it maybe as something that we can do to make things better, to make ourselves feel better. Because sometimes it's easier to change our actions than to face what's inside. So we make a plan and we mark off the days and we come out on the other side and maybe we do feel a little better because we've succeeded, or maybe not because we haven't. But in the practice of Lent, it's easy to miss the intention of it. But when we hear this call to a fast that Joel gives us, we can't miss the invitation in it, because it's about so much more than what we're giving up in this season, and it's about so much more than the rituals of this season. Through the prophet Joel, the Lord is giving us an invitation to return to him. He says, "Yet even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your clothing." And that's risky. It requires us to be vulnerable, because it's much easier to focus on the outward rituals of Lent. Those are measurable. We can get results with our behaviors. We know when we've succeeded, when we do what we've said, when we put on ashes, when we stop doing things, when we give up things. But is our heart any different? That's the more difficult question. But that's the invitation and the challenge that we receive in this text tonight. Return to me with all your heart. And that's where the blessing of Lent truly lies. Artist and poet Jan Richardson writes, "To receive this blessing, all you have to do is let your heart break. Let it crack open. Let it fall apart so that you can see its secret chambers, the hidden spaces where you have hesitated to go." That is certainly risky, but that is really what Lent is about. It's about remembering who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's about truly acknowledging our sinfulness. We realize the many ways that we fail to be who and what Christ calls us to. We look at the pain in the world and the pain that is all too close to home. And we realize that we may play a part in that pain, in the things that we've done and the things we've left undone, and in the things that we've said and left unsaid. And it breaks our heart. This Lenten journey goes far beyond just tearing our clothes and putting on ashes, because clothes are easy to change and ashes are easy to wash off. It calls for something more from us. It calls for us to return to God and to open our hearts to him. And that can be scary. So why on earth would we want to open ourselves up to that kind of risk? It seems like it would be so much simpler to just stick with what we know, to choose what we'll do for Lent, and hopefully come on out the other side being a better person and call it good. But Joel tells tells us why by telling us who it is that invites us. This God inviting us to himself is trustworthy with our secrets. This God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. If we take the risk to open those doors that we have kept closed, God will be gracious to us. And it has cost us something to keep those things locked away. We lose a bit of ourselves. We lose true intimacy with God, with each other. It takes a lot of emotional energy to keep those things locked away. God is inviting us to open our hearts to him, to trust God. It requires us to relinquish control. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jan Richardson went on to encourage us to let this season be for wandering, for trusting in the breaking, for tracing the rupture that will return you to the one who waits, who watches, who works within the rending to make your heart whole. Our trustworthy God invites you to return to him. May this season of Lent be a time where the rituals draw you into the presence of God. May they open your heart to his mercy and grace. As you receive the ashes tonight, may that be the beginning of your journey. And may this be a season where your heart is made whole. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.